So thankful that even when things are hard, God is still good. God is still good. I was reading this morning in John chapter 9, and I posted on Facebook these words: no matter what happens to me, God's power can be seen in me. That's not bad, is it? No matter what happens to me, God's power can be seen in me. And I believe that, and we've seen that in James and in so many others. It's the most wonderful time of the year. You all know, how many of you know that song? Yeah. How many of you know it's 50 years old? It was written and recorded in 1963. Andy Williams recorded it, written by Edward Pola, the lyrics, George Weil, the music. And I like the song. I do. Now, my favorite line is the one about much mistletoeing. I got to be honest with you. Yeah. I'm a romantic at heart. I love to kiss on my sweetheart. And so I like that. I like that a lot. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And, of course, it's talking about the Christmas season. And that's nearly upon us, isn't it? It's nearly upon us. But I make a confession today. Make a confession. And the confession is, just me personally, it doesn't have to do with children, grandchildren. I love all of that. But I'll tell you, here's my confession. I think the most wonderful time of the year is Thanksgiving. For me personally, Thanksgiving is sweeter to me than Christmas. Now, that might seem odd to some of you because Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and nothing is sweeter to me than that. But we have so commercialized that season that somehow Thanksgiving is sweet to me. The gathering with family, we have at our home planned, or at our families, we're not meeting at our home this year, but we have traditions just like you do. We have fried turkey breast. I cut it up in little chunks, and we dip it in a special batter. And it's got to be fried in a skillet, not in a deep fryer. And we put that together, and my mouth is watering already. Huh? And we'll meet on Thursday at noon down at Spokane at what we call the Mother Ruby place, where my sister-in-law Connie Ballou was raised by her mom and dad Earl and Ruby. And we meet there at noon with all the Blue family, and we eat, and we sing, and we have a great day. And then we go back up to Nixville. We meet with my wife's family, and we have a great time with them. We eat again. Oh, God help me. And so, y'all pray for me. Then we eat again. But family and sweet time, and I just love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. And I've come to you last Sunday and this Sunday with a note of thanksgiving. As if I could write a handwritten note to every one of you sweet people and send you a note of thanksgiving. And the way that I have done that is simply to look at what Paul thanked God concerning the churches in his day. And they were flawed. And so are we. Indeed, he was flawed. And so am I. And yet Paul could come time after time after time to these people and say, I thank God for you. And that's what I'm saying to you. I thank God for you. Some of you were not here last Sunday, and so let me just simply bring you quickly up to speed. Last week I said I thank God for you because, number one, you have faith in Jesus and it is showing. And that's what Paul said to the church in Rome, Romans 1:8. Number two, you have heard the word and been submissive. And that's what he said to them in Romans 6:17. And then number three, I thank God for you. See, it's not just about the churches then, it's about Ridgecrest Baptist Church. I thank God for you because you have gifts from God and you are serving, 1 Corinthians 1:4-9. Just a note of thanksgiving. I thank God for you. I wish I could hold on to each one of your hands today and tell you, I thank God for you. Today, we go to the church in Ephesus. Oh, in many ways, it was the epitome of a great church. And you be turning to Ephesians chapter 1. In those first verses, Paul does what he always does. He greets them in the name of the Lord, but then he usually has a word to say to them. And again, this was not a perfect church. They were very good in many ways, but they also, later on at least, had kind of left their first love. They had kind of gotten sidetracked just a little bit, and so they're not perfect. But here's what Paul is going to say to them. And if you have your Bible, you'll be looking at Ephesians 1. I want to start with verse 15. Ephesians 1, 15. Here we go. "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints," here it is, "do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Paul said, "Listen, I want you to know right up front, before I say anything else, before I correct you in any way, before I encourage you in any way, I just want to say to you right up front, I thank God for you." Specifically, he said, "I thank God for your faith in the Lord," and I talked about that last week. But then he said, "I thank God for your love for all the saints." He celebrated their love for all the saints. Now, that word love, oh my goodness, that's a word for all seasons. It's that word that we find in the Greek language as agape, and many of you will have heard that word. It describes an unselfish kind of love, motivated not by what can I get, but motivated simply with a desire to see someone else blessed, to see someone else helped. It is the love that God has for me. It's the love that God has for you. And Paul says to the church in Ephesus, "I thank God for your love." Now there's a shocking word in that sentence. The shocking word for me is not the word love. The shocking word for me is this three-letter word, all. Would you look at that again in your translation? I'm in the New King James Version. But you find it here in verse 15. He says, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for," what? "All the saints." And I suggest to you that's kind of shocking. Shocking. I've quoted this little poem several times in my ministry, but it always kind of speaks to my heart. Oh, to live above with those we love, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, that's a different story. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? I mean, listen, we want to change this verse. We want to say love for some of the saints. Some of you are easy to love. Some of us are easy to love. And we want to kind of qualify that. Can I challenge you right now? Think of the person that right now is a pain in your posterior. Think of the person who is absolutely on your last nerve. And if they are a child of God, put them in that all. I thank God for your love for all the saints. All the saints. Oh, what a shocking word that is. And yet Paul looks at that church and he sees that they are expressing love for the least and the greatest and the weakest and the strongest. And it seems like everybody was experiencing love through that church. I thank God for your love for all the saints. It seems like every time I turn around, I hear another story of how you in this church are loving one another. It may be in the hospital, where we have some of the finest hospital visitors that I know anywhere, and they are so faithful, and I get the notes back. And the notes say, "Oh, we thank God for your visits. We thank God. I thank God for Pastor Joe Fall, one of our men. I thank God for Philip Johnston, one of our good men. I thank God for all of the host of essential personnel that do our hospital ministry, and some that go into the assisted living and the nursing homes and the rehabilitation centers, and some that go into the homes and they love on people. They love on people like I want to love on people, but I can't reach out to that many, and I thank God for those. I thank God for those that are there when the home catches on fire. That happened recently. I thank God that are there for those that are there when there's been a death in the family. I thought about Eddie Lear, who sings in their choir for us, and what a blessing he's been with many of our single adults and responding to their needs. I thought about Neva Blakey, who's with our singles, and what a wonderful job she does with the prayer ministry and keeping me informed and preparative and the intercessory prayer need and for the prayer chains that are a part of this church, and on and on and on and on. What if I did not have that? The answer is I could not rest. But I thank God for you, because you love all the saints. You are people who love others. And you say, Pastor, what if I don't love all the saints? And I say, good news. Repent. Now I'm telling you, that's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
Because you can repent and get right with God today. When we give an invitation a little while, you can come and kneel at an altar or here at the steps or wherever you are, and you can say, God, forgive me because I've not loved others. And you say, yeah, but it's their fault. That's not the truth, my friend. The truth of the matter is, I decide and you decide who is worthy of love. And listen to me, what our God decided is that every one of us was worthy of His love. Not in our own self, but because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how valuable I am to Him. And what I'm saying to you, I simply say to all, and that is, you are in call to, and so many of you do it so beautifully, to love one another. So I thank God for you because, this is number four, you have love in your heart for all the saints. Let me say it again. I thank God for you. This is my Thanksgiving note to you, because you have love in your heart for all the saints. Now, there's another one, Philippians. Just a page or so over, Philippians 1. We're tracing the things for which Paul said he was thankful to God for the people. Here we go. Philippians chapter 1. And here's what the scripture says. I want to start with verse number 3. Philippians 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship. Watch that now. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I thank God for you. He needed them. He needed partners in the ministry. Listen, God called him to change the world. He called him to go where nobody had gone, plant churches where there were no churches, and he could not do it without partners. And he had traveling partners, but he also had church partners, and the Philippians were one of the churches that partnered with him. Listen to what he says at the end in Philippians 4, 14 and following. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Listen, and my God is able to supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. No wonder Paul was thankful. Here were people, here was a church standing with him in his missionary journeys, standing with him in his task of taking the gospel to all of his known world. And he said, I thank God for you. And I got to thinking about 1984. 1984, August the 19th, my first official day as the pastor of Ridgecrest Baptist Mission. And when I came the first time, which was a little before that, 20 people met me in the house with my wife and our four children. We made 26. And I thought about those who from that first day until now have stood with me. And I wondered, is there anybody in this room, I'm going to look and see, that was here on that first Sunday or at that time in August of 1984. If you are, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Anybody in here that was here? Here we go. Somebody, here's another one. Here's another one. Anybody else? I'm looking. They couldn't get in the balcony. No, I'm joking. The truth of the matter is, would you give these folks a hand, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you, and you may be seated. Listen, they stood with me. And I thought about the years that followed and all of the things that happened. And a year later, the first building. And 2 years later, the second building. And 5 years later, the third one. And then what we called, and I called, the 100-month vision. Some of you were here. The 100-month vision that God put in my mind that in the next 100 months, where in the world did that come from? July the 3rd into July the 4th, 1992. Put it in my mind. I couldn't sleep. Flooded my mind. And God saying to me, if you'll let me in the next 100 months, you can see. You can see over 500 people saved and baptized. In the next 100 months, you can see. You can see over 1,000 other people brought into this church. In the next 100 months, you can see 10 branches of this ministry planted around the community and around the world. In the next 100 months, you can see $1 million given to missions in the next 100 months. In the next 100 months, you can see the building you're in paid for and a building seating 1,400 people that would be built by that time in 100 months. And I was with somebody, right now I can't even remember who it was, but they showed me the actual bulletin from the Sunday that I shared that and the notes that they had made about that 100-month vision. And if you fast forward to the year 2000, 100 months later, here's what we found. 530-some people had been saved and baptized. 1,400 other Christians had come into this church, other Christians. And we'd planted 7 branches. I think we were supposed to do 10. We missed that one. And then we saw 1.9 million dollars given to missions, and we saw this facility built in 100 months. Listen, God putting dreams and visions in my heart, and then from my heart to yours. Yes, give Him praise. Hallelujah. But hear me, this would never have happened had there not been people that would say, Pastor, we will partner with you in spreading the gospel. That was what Paul thanked God for. And that's why I come today to say thank God for you. Because you have stepped up and you've partnered as we have been involved in multiple ways of spreading the gospel. Starting in 1996, we began to plant new works, and God has blessed those. And 2004, we bought Remingtons, and 2012 paid it off. And we started multiple heart languages for worship, and we began to engage unreached people group, the Huichol Indians in the Sierra Madre Mountains of central Mexico, and then to the deaf people in Botswana, and on before and after. And God has let us do exceedingly more than I could have ever dreamed or thought. But only because you partnered with me in spreading the gospel. And I say simply, thank you. I thank God for you. You have love in your heart for all the saints. You've partnered with me in spreading the gospel. Last one. This time, Philippians 1, Philippians 1. No, I'm sorry. I knew that didn't sound right. Philemon. Come on, Hosea, read your own notes. Philemon, turn over there, just one little chapter. Always takes me a little time to find it. It's tucked in there. But Philemon comes just before Hebrews. There we go. I got it now. Philemon 1, verse 4. Here it is. You ready? By the way, Philemon, Paul was sending back to him a runaway slave named Onesimus. It's a great little story there. But Philemon 1, verse 4. I thank my God. Hear it? I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, there it is again, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love because, here it is, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. So here's the last one in my Thanksgiving note. You have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Paul rejoiced in their love. He rejoiced in their faith. He rejoiced in their participation in the faith of the gospel, the koinonia. And he gave them a great compliment. He said, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. And I think that's the practical outworking of a life of love and faith. You refresh the hearts of the saints. And I thank God for people that do that. I think of my own mom and dad. I was down at the restaurant in Nixopatrick's restaurant on Saturday. We usually gather there at noon with our family. And Jack Keithley, a distant relative of mine, a pastor, Jack and his wife and two daughters were there. And Jack, I went over to say hi to him. He said, we've been talking about your mom and dad. He said, oh, they were precious people to us. Your dad was such a fine man. And I told him then, and he agreed with that. I said, Dad always said to me that his spiritual gift was exhortation or encouragement. And wherever he went, he refreshed the hearts of people around him. People left his presence feeling refreshed. And I thought about that, and I thought about the ministry of the elders to me. Ken and Art and Frank and Freddie and Rex and Ed and Bobby and Jim, they refresh my heart. And they're not the exception. There are so many of you that when I'm in your presence, I'm refreshed. I'm refreshed. And I so thank God for you. I would ask you, when you're around other Christians, do they leave feeling refreshed or depressed? Huh? But we have the privilege of refreshing one another. Do you fill others' tanks or do you drain them? My assessment is simply this. The vast majority of people at Ridgecrest Baptist Church are refreshing the hearts of the saints. In faith families, in small groups, in home gatherings, in formal and informal ways, refreshing the hearts of the saints. So I'm through. Let me read you my note. I put it all in one. Are you ready? Just look up here. I thank God for you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because you have faith in Jesus and it is showing. I thank God for you because you've heard the word and been submissive. I thank God for you because you have gifts from God and you are serving. I thank God for you because you have love in your heart for all the saints. I thank God for you because you've partnered with me in spreading the gospel. And finally, I thank God for you because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. I know those words are inadequate to express my love and thanksgiving for you. I wish I could do it better and more fully. However, I simply end where I began. I thank God for you. Let's pray. Yes. Heavenly Father, my life is immeasurably better because I've lived in community with people in this fellowship for almost 30 years. My life has been strengthened. My life has been enriched. The friendships are deeper than words express. And if I started calling names, I would go on for hours. And I thank you for your people who are in my heart, my people. Father, I pray right now that if there's one person here and they're so lonely, I would pray, Lord, help them press into this fellowship and to find people who want to know them and help them, Father, to be able to simply refresh one another's spirits. Father, I thank you for them. I pray for the boy or the girl, the teenager, the man or the woman that may be ready to give their life to Jesus Christ today. Lord, help them come during this invitation. Those who may be saying, listen, I want to be a part of this fellowship where God is clearly still at work. Father, maybe somebody has a commitment. I don't know anything about it. But you know, they may have something they need to bring to the altar and leave there. Lord, there may be some things that wounded them in the past, and it's time now to lay that down and to move forward into the brightness of a better day, knowing that you are able to take care of the details of that situation. Whatever it is, Lord, do what you want to do in this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name.